Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome to Catholic Answers Live, Friday edition. If you've ever wondered about angels, this hour we're going to give you lots of help in getting to know them. What are they? Or maybe who are they would be a better question. Are they real? Do they have a role in my life, your life, in the life of the church and the world? I am Cy Kellett, your host. And if you have questions about angels, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Our guests this hour, Terry and Mary Barber, are a power couple of the new evangelization, parents of four children. Terry is one half of the Terry and Jesse Show, where they're too blessed to be stressed. And he's the founder of St. Joseph Communication, Lighthouse Catholic Media, and the author of one of the best books you will ever read on evangelization, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, a practical manual of Catholic evangelization. He is joined by Mary today. Mary holds a master's of biblical theology from John Paul the Great Catholic University and teaches Bible classes or Bible studies in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And she also plays a very important role of reminding Terry where he is and where he's supposed to go at any given moment. Mary and Terry Barber, thanks for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you for having us.
So we're glad to be here, brother. God bless you.
And did I get that right, Mary, that you spend part of your life telling Terry where he's going, where he needs to be?
Partially, I suppose.
Yeah. So I say you're a power couple of the new evangelization. I mean, both doing important apostolic work and prayer. But how did you come to be Mary and Terry Barber? How'd that happen?
Well, it's an interesting story because it took me 10 years to actually ask my wife to marry me after I met her when she was 22. She went into the convent. I went to go check out the Franciscans at Marytown in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I found out that that wasn't my calling. My wife found out it wasn't her calling to be a nun, but we were both understanding that our calling was to be a saint. And so we got married on the feast of the Holy Rosary, the 7th of October of 1989. And what's interesting, Cy, about this is that we met there through the Knights of the Immaculata, through total consecration to Mary, and we've been married with four kids. I have been very active, as you say, with St. Joseph Communications, the Catholic Resource Center, and with Catholic Answers. I remember starting back in the mid-'80s meeting Carl Keating when he was an attorney, and he was just starting Catholic Answers. And I was so happy because I loved what he was doing. I gave him my mailing list. I said, Carl, God love you. What you're doing is so important. So for the past 35 years, I've been probably the biggest cheerleader for Catholic Answers. As a matter of fact, Tim Staples, who worked for St. Joseph Communications for years, I even got Tim to go to Catholic Answers. And I was glad to do that. But my point is, the collaboration with Catholic Answers and the apostolic work of the Barbers has been just a joy.
Oh, Terry, I should let people know you are, by general acclamation, the most energetic person in Catholic media. It's impossible for you to stand still, and you are fired up. As to the angels, if I may yes. ask a question about the angels,
sure.
And Mary, with your master's in biblical studies, are the angels in the Bible, and from the Bible, do we get any idea of who or what they are?
Yes, we do, Cy. The angels are definitely in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. They play a very predominant role. We get the idea from that. The word angel means messenger, but as the fathers of the church, St. Augustine and the Catechism of the Catholic Church quote St. Augustine, messenger is not who they are. Messenger is what they do. That's their role. They are pure spirits. They are beings that have an intellect and a will, but they don't have bodies. And they were created by God. The first instance we have of reference to the angels is actually in Genesis, when it says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light.
Oh.
And then God separated the light from the darkness. And we know from the fathers of the church and the teaching of the church, this was the separation of the angels. The good angels from the bad angels was the light from the darkness. Because when God says, let there be light, there's no sun, moon, and stars yet. What is the light? The light is the angels. And of course, Lucifer, who was the highest of the angels, was the light bearer. Is that what his name means? But he chose to fall from God and became darkness. So the separation of the light from the darkness, that was the separation of the good and the bad angels.
So an angel is their role, but so what are they? They're a spirit is what you're saying.
They're pure spirits, and their purpose, they were made to praise the Lord our God, to worship him and adore him. And in addition to that, they were made to serve men and to assist men in their journey toward their heavenly goal.
So we just had earlier this month the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and that's October 2nd each year. What are we to believe about guardian angels?
Well, we are to believe that every baptized human person definitely has a guardian angel. Some of the fathers of the church said that every soul has an angel, but it's not definitive. We know that every baptized soul does. Jesus in Matthew 18 says to his apostles when they tried to chase the little children away, he says, do not hinder them. For behold, the face of their angels constantly behold our Father's face. So the guardian angel is assigned to a person, one angel per person. They're not recycled. They don't get a new person when the person dies. When you die, your guardian angel gets to go to heaven. And if you go to heaven, he gets to rejoice with you for all eternity. If you don't, he rejoices for all eternity because he's done the best he can. We're all free, and the angels understand that. Just as God gave them free choice, he gives us free choice, and we have to choose whether to cooperate with him or not. But each person has a guardian angel. Each baptized person has a guardian angel, and that angel is there to help us in particular to praise, reverence, and serve the Lord our God and to do his will in our life and to conform our lives more completely to his will. And they do that perfectly. The good angels never said no to God. And once an angel decides on something, he can't change his mind. There's no changing his mind. I remember the kids were watching a show one time, and it's like this good angel goes bad. And I'm like, can't happen. They don't do that.
Right. It's a final, because they're pure spirits. There's no like physical changing of your mind. You've made an affirmation that stands.
Right.
Well, again, 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking angels this hour with Terry and Mary Barber. 888-318-7884. So here's my problem with guardian angels. I'm going to share my problem, and either one of you can solve this problem for me. Bad stuff happens to me. And I don't know, has my guardian angel fallen asleep? What's the problem here when bad stuff happens to me?
Well, would you say that bad stuff happened to Jesus, Cy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, Mary.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The thing is, we look at tragedy. We look at suffering. We look at challenges in life. Sometimes we look at the contradictions and the crosses and toils and disappointments. We look at them as bad, but God can take anything and bring good out of it. So the angel is there, and what he's trying to help us do is learn from that how to draw closer to God in the midst of tragedy. And oftentimes, you know, Bishop Fulton Sheen always used to say, pain is God's megaphone. You know, God uses that. God never wills an evil, but he will allow evil because he's allowed us free will. He allows us to sin. That's the greatest evil there is sin. And so God can bring good out of that. So the angel is there. He's encouraging us to do what is good. But he also understands and sees from God's perspective that maybe a good can come out of this. I remember Father Wagner told a story once, two stories. One was a little boy who got bit by a deadly poisonous snake, and his angel literally carried him home to his mom so that he wouldn't die. Another was a priest who was walking and suddenly sees a light in the sky in the form of a cross where there's never been a light, and he stops. Had he not stopped at that moment, he would have stepped on a deadly poisonous snake and gotten bit. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Why did the angel let the little boy get bit and then carry him home and not let the priest get bit?
Right.
And Father Wagner said, that's in the mystery of God, we can't fully explain that. Right. But there could be a lot of practical reasons. The priest is a priest. He has to serve his people. Maybe there was something in the little boy's family that this suffering would bring them together and bring a greater good.
Yep.
Right. Right. We can't know. Terry, we got to take a break.
Sure.
I never would have guessed like 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes with not a word from Terry Barber. I'm in shock at the moment. But we got to take a break. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We're talking angels this hour with Terry and Mary Barber. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
It's October, and as we head to the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off its annual winter sale in its newly redesigned online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off the hundreds of great Catholic resources we have in our online store from now till the end of the year. To get those discounts, just go to shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 12, Jesus warns us not to be afraid of those who kill the body, but of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast one into Gehenna. Even sparrows sold for 2 small coins do not escape the notice of God. The hairs on your head are numbered, he said. Fear not. You are worth more than many sparrows. Most of us fear rejection, the disapproval of people we respect, and certainly we fear for our physical safety. But our Blessed Lord is telling us that the only safety that ultimately matters is the safety from sin and temptation. How much do we fear that? You won't find NBC or even Fox doing a special warning of the dangers of that. Our ultimate safety lies in repentance and the willingness to forego anything and everything in order to be faithful to Him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Super Friday edition. Mary and Terry Barber are here with us to discuss angels. We actually wanted to do this show a little earlier in the month, but weren't able to arrange it. And earlier because the Feast of the Guardian Angels is October 2nd, but it's still October. And so we're very happy to have Terry and Mary here to talk with us about the angels. If you have questions about angels, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. And Terry, I kind of made you wait for a second while I went to the break. You had something you wanted to say before we went to the break.
I just wanted to tell everybody about your guardian angel, that the unemployment rate is way too high. Put them to work! And I say that because many people don't realize that they need to collaborate more with that guardian angel. And that guardian angel's job is to get you to heaven. So why not call on him daily?
Well, so now, okay, so how do I cooperate with my guardian angel then? I mean,
Great question.
Thank you. Yeah. What's the answer, though?
Well, go ahead, Mom.
Well, first of all, the cooperation comes with we need to learn to obey the commandments, follow God's law and His plan. But we need to learn to pray also. We need to learn to be silent and be listening so that we can hear the voice of the angel. We can hear his inspiration. He's not going to appear to us physically. We won't even hear a word, but we might have an inspiration. Call this person. They need a call. Or go check on this outside. Or these little inspirations the angels give us. But the more we pray and are in an attitude of prayer, a practice of the presence of God is probably the best way to collaborate with the guardian angels. The angels are always in God's presence, as, again, Matthew 18:10, they constantly see His face. So we, too, need to try and remember God is always with us. He's always present to us. But are we present to Him Or are we just distracted?
Well, I guess one question that I have before we go to calls, and we have a full bank of calls, so lots of people want to talk about the angels. And if you'd like to talk with Terry and Mary, give us a call, 888-318-7884. But is there ever a danger in dealing with angels? One, being misled about whether we're in fact dealing with an angel, but also maybe emphasizing the angels to the exclusion of our relationship with God.
Yes, there's always a danger. Number one, there's more than one type of angel. There are the good angels who collaborated with God and said, I will serve. There are also the demons. When Lucifer said, I will not serve, he refused to collaborate in the plan of God, and he turned away from God definitively. He can't change his mind. And he's a devil, and God cast him out of heaven. And he did that with the power of St. Michael. Michael did that with the power of God. It's like David and Goliath. Michael was no match for Lucifer in terms of their power and who they are by nature, because Lucifer was the highest angel. He was more powerful than Michael, but Michael relied totally on the power of God.
I might add one thing, because we talked about Father William Wagner from the Opus Angelorum. He's coming to Covina, to the Sacred Heart Chapel, the 13th of January. We're going to be having a spiritual warfare conference on angels and demons, the topic we're just talking about. And I guarantee you, as like Scott Hahn said, Father William Wagner is the top angelologist he's ever met. And I would ask you, if you want to come to that conference, you can call 877-526-2151. I'm going to be there. My wife will be there. This is a rare time where we've got two priests coming to speak on the angels and on spiritual warfare, angels and demons. That's going to be January 13th, and you'll get an opportunity in that day to meet these priests.
Oh, so what about this idea, though? And I'll just give you an idea. I might walk into a shop or something where it's kind of a – it might even be a New Agey type of thing. And angels are being they're probably not worshipped, but it seems to me – emphasized in a way that isn't connected with Christ or the church or God. Or what about that?
And I think always as Christians, we have to ask ourselves, are any of our devotions leading us to God or away from Him? We're either getting closer to God or further away.
Good point.
So, and the deal is this, we can ask ourselves also, is this devotion actually helping me to accomplish the duties of my state in life better? Is it helping me to obey the commandments better? Is it leading to me to a more intimate prayer life with our Lord? Because if it's not, if we can't say yes to all three of those, then there's something wrong there. And maybe the spirit that we're dealing with is not a holy good angel, but might be actually a demonic spirit. The demons can appear as angels of light. So yes, they can lead us astray. And there's a lot of kind of crazy ideas out there. And then some of the New Agey stuff is even like, well, I'm my own God. I can decide for myself. I didn't make myself. I'm not my own God. We need to discern the spirits. St. Ignatius talked about that too. And know that, am I doing my duty better? Am I getting closer to Christ? Am I developing a more intimate prayer life with our Lord?
888-318-7884. Our number, we start with Teresa in Danville, Michigan, listening on the EWTN app. Teresa, your question for Terry and Mary Barber.
Hi, I homeschool three of my six kids, and recently we've been studying about the angels in our religion lessons. And my daughter, as witty and intuitive as she is, she pointed out that we are taught and it's taught that angels are pure spirits without genders, which means they don't have gender. So why is it then that every instance in the Bible that when they appear to humankind, that they come as in the male form, they're referred to as he?
Great question, Teresa.
That is a great question. I think part of that has to do with the angel represents strength. He is absolutely a pure spirit. He does not have a body. And this is St. Raphael in the Book of Tobit makes this very clear to Tobias and his father at the end. I only appeared in a body. I don't have a body. I'm an angel. But the male gender represents strength. The man was made to protect and govern and guide. The woman was made to nurture and to receive. That doesn't mean, you know, that we all receive from God, but there is definitely distinctions between maleness and femaleness, and God made that. I didn't make that. And so the angels, I think, appear as men because of the character of strength and protecting and guiding.
I hope that helped.
Thanks, Teresa, very, very much for that question. Sure. We're talking angels today with Terry and Mary Barber. 888-318-7884, the number. Anonymous in California, you are on with Terry and Mary. Your question, please.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, and it kind of breaks my heart, but my daughter is not practicing her faith right now, and I have a one-year-old granddaughter. And she's not baptized right now because my daughter's not practicing. And I keep saying to her, as a practicing baptized Catholic, let me just baptize her to get original sin off her soul by, you know, using holy water and just saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, until such time as hopefully she, you know, goes back to the church. But anyway, will she get a guardian angel if I do that?
The deal is, if she, and again, you have to talk to the mother, if she's going to be baptized, there's a serious obligation attached to that to make sure that she's raised in the faith. So I would encourage, just talk to your daughter's guardian angel. Ask your angel to go talk to your daughter's guardian angel and collaborate. Ask the angels to collaborate together on behalf of this child. Yes, every baptized person has a guardian angel. Some of the fathers of the church believe that every soul has a guardian angel. So we're not, the church isn't absolutely definitive on that, so that the child may already have a guardian angel. If the child is going to be baptized, God already has in mind the angel he's going to assign, so you can already ask your angel to talk to the angel that would be assigned to that child.
And if I could jump in, Teresa, and just say every single day what my wife and I do for our four kids, we say the angel prayer, and I would encourage you to do that every day for your granddaughter and your daughter. O angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits her there, forever this day be at her side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide. From sinful stain, O keep her free, and in death's hour, my helper be. If you ever want that prayer, just email terry@stjoe.com. I'll send it to you. But start praying that prayer, because you need supernatural help to get them back into the faith. That's my take.
Anonymous, does that help you?
Yeah, that does.
Okay.
God love you.
Very good. Thank you. I just want to clarify something with both of you, Terry and Mary. Yeah. So what you were saying before is we know that every baptized child has a guardian angel.
Yes.
It may well be that every child has a guardian angel. We just don't that's just not a settled matter. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's
correct. And biblically, it seems that at least in the old, you know, when Jesus said, "Their angels behold the face of my Father in heaven," he's not talking about baptized children. Now, he's talking about the children of Israel. These are Israelite children who are being brought to him by their mothers. But
I see what you're saying. They were not baptized.
Right. They weren't baptized. This is before baptism was. Yeah. So that would suggest that, yes, every child has an angel. So feel free to send your angel to collaborate and talk to the angels of the little children.
Tom, in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM, you are on with Mary and Terry Barber. Your question, please.
Yes, thank you for having me on. In Scripture, you know, they mention several angels' names. I believe they're all archangels, as well as a few demons.
Mm-hmm.
And demons are often associated with a certain type of sin or predication, you know, whether it's a demon of apathy or something along those lines. Would that then conversely mean that there's angels assigned to, you know, say like the spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit?
Okay, so we lost you there a little bit at the end, Tom. But so, but I did catch. I think we got enough to get the basic question in. And Tom will try to check in with you in a second here. But if demons have specialties, demons that tempt us to certain things, or do angels also have specialties? That is God's angels.
That's a great question. You know, one of the interesting things about angels, Tom, is the catechism doesn't answer all the questions. Hey, here we got to take a quick break. I hear the bumper music, but I just want to say this. Continue to pray to your guardian angel every day for help in any matter that you have during the day. That's my take.
After the break, Tom, we'll come back to your question, see if we can get a full answer to that. 888-31-TRUTH is our number here at Catholic Answers. Today we are talking angels with Terry and Mary Barber. We'll be right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for Wings, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the Wings link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your wings today.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove seven books from the Old Testament? In Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, author Gary Machuda takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information, discourse on crucial issues, and a topical index, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Please sign up for our Catholic Answers Radio Club. We'd love to send you a free MP3 of Jimmy Akin's talk from this year's Catholic Answers Conference, What the Reformation Was All About. All you got to do is sign up for the Radio Club newsletter. We don't send you hundreds and dozens and thousands of emails. We just send you a newsletter each week about what's going on here at Catholic Answers, and then some other cool stuff is in it. And you get these free MP3s every now and then. What the Reformation Was All About, free MP3 from Jimmy Akin. It's yours, as I said, for free if you just go to Catholic.com/Radio Club. Catholic.com/Radio Club. We're talking angels this hour with Terry Barber of the Terry and Jesse Show and the author of what has to be just one of the greatest books ever on evangelization, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, a practical manual for Catholic evangelization, and by Mary Barber, a master of biblical theology. Her master's comes from John Paul the Great Catholic University, and she teaches Bible studies in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And Terry, if I could just say, sure. how to share your faith with anyone, it's full of stories.
I'm a storyteller, and I'll just give you one quickie, and because it's a kind of an angel story, but it really points out how important stories are to sharing the faith with people. And this is real quick, and then we'll get back to that question about the gentleman's question. But you know what? I'm just going to tell people, if they want a copy of the book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, go to CatholicRC.org. I won't tell the story because this is all on angels. Let's answer the gentleman's question before the break.
Okay. I see. All right.
I'm sorry.
No, I got
carried away. You set me up on my book. I'm like, I'm not going to talk about my book. We'll answer the guy's question.
You know what, Terry? I've gotten to the point. I know if I ask you a question, I'm ready for an answer. Like I know you're going to answer it. But okay. So Mary, maybe back to you, because Tom in Colorado did ask us about if angels have particular roles. Are there particular roles connected to the angels?
Correct. And John Paul II affirmed in his August 6, 1986 audience that the angels are arraigned in what we call choirs. We can deduce from sacred scripture that angels, as it were, grouped together in society, are divided into orders and grades corresponding to the measure of their perfection and to the tasks entrusted to them. The ancient authors and the liturgy itself also speak of angelic choirs, and the church generally designates nine choirs of angels. In terms of specific charisms, I don't know if that, but the choirs, they have different tasks.
I see.
You know, yeah. Yes. And one of the places that people can go for information on the angels, if they really want to get synopsis on these things, there's opusangelorum.org, opusangelorum.org. And they have, you know, most asked questions.
Yep,
they
frequently
have,
asked.
They have frequently asked questions. They have a catechesis on the angels, the comments from the Compendium of the Catholic Church. They have the dictionary on the popular piety, the popes and the angels, what the catechism says. And these things are all available on their website. So I don't, you know, I don't know if that directly answers this question, but the angels are arranged in choirs, and that's they're in a.
These words are very they're words that can work for us as images, but since we don't know pure spirit, like we don't have any visual image that can completely convey what pure spirit is, right. Like even to say choirs, I think people might. This is not a literal, like, a box with one choir in it and another
right.
box with
exactly.
another choir in it. These
exactly.
are images that are supposed to – that's correct, Mary, right?
That's correct. Yep. That is absolutely correct. And one of the things that – what we see in the visible world, the way God arranged his kahal in the Old Testament, his church, the Old Testament Israelite community, and also in the New Testament, the hierarchical structure of the church is a reflection of the hierarchical structure of the angels. As a matter of fact – the hierarchical structure of the church is secondary. The hierarchical structure of the angels comes first. So you have the cherubim and the seraphim, who are the ones closest to God, you know, and then...
And that corresponds to radio yep. hosts here.
No!
No? Oh, sorry. You said, yep, Terry.
I said, yes, I'm a radio host. Oh, I'm joking. I love it.
888-318-7884, the number. If you have questions about angels, we'd be happy to talk with you about angels. Terry, go ahead. You have to finish.
No, I just the question came up. The question came up that a lot of people ask: is it possible for someone to receive a second guardian angel? Wherever I go, they ask that question. So here's the answer: we receive only one guardian angel during our lifetime, who is our personal guardian. St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, said this. However, with a number of other theologians. Hold that not only bishops receive an additional angel to help them fulfill their responsibilities when they are ordained, but also that certain types of public officials who have grave responsibilities, for example, rulers of nations, governors of state, large communities, receive an additional angel to help them rule and guide. This is all in the Summa. But let me mention this. The next time you go to Mass, my folks that are listening, know this. There's an angel to the side of that priest saying Mass. There's angels in the church when we're at Mass.
Right.
Because we bring heaven down to earth when we're at Mass. So think about that the next time you're at Mass. And don't forget to call on your guardian angel every day to help you get closer to Jesus.
888-318-7884. Our number, we're talking angels with Terry and Mary Barber. And I think the choirs of angels might be better than the choir at my church, Terry. I'm glad that they're there. Yolanda in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Your question for the Barbers on angels.
Good afternoon. This question sounds rather redundant, given some of the conversation that has gone on. But my question is directed at Mary, who said that, and she said this is not a clear teaching on angels, only the baptized having angels. And, you know, in our God who created everything and said that it was good, very good, and we know that we have righteous pagans, how would there not be angels for those who are living the moral life, who have perhaps have never had the opportunity to be evangelized, but who live the moral life? How could they not have angels helping to guide them?
Fair enough. Yolanda, let's let them take a shot at that. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
And again, I bring up what I mentioned about when Jesus spoke in the New Testament to his apostles and said, their angels continually behold the face of our Father. The church does have limitations on what she absolutely defines, and she's very careful about absolutely defining something, because once it's absolutely defined, it's set in stone. And so it becomes difficult for that dogma to develop anymore. There's a development of dogma. And so, yes, there were fathers of the church who believed that everyone has a guardian angel. And, yes, absolutely God sends the angels to help us. And so that each person has an angel, yes, that's definitely a possibility. Obviously, a person who is living according to God's law, even if they're not visibly a part of the Catholic Church, is receiving that grace through the mediation of the Catholic Church and the merits of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's
what I was just going to say.
Vatican II was very clear that,
yes.
And even Augustine, back in Augustine's times, Augustine said, there are many who appear to be one with us who are not, and there are those who do not appear to be one with us who are. And so, yeah, God doesn't see things as we see them. And again, as Thomas Aquinas said in regards to the sacraments, we're bound by the sacraments, but God is not. So,
amen.
Yes, God can work with everyone. And we're not strictly bound, as it were, if the person's not responsible for not knowing the fullness of the Catholic faith, but they're trying their best to live God's truth. Yes, God is going to give them the grace.
Amen.
And very possibly, yes, he's given them a guardian angel.
What do you think about that, Yolanda?
Well, you know, here again, now she's saying Catholic faith, but if anyone who's received a Trinitarian baptism, then have.
Well, then, yes, but we don't believe there's two churches or three churches as Catholics. I mean, there's one Church of Christ that's most, how would we say it, subsists most fully in the Catholic Church. So we don't say a Lutheran has a different baptism or a Methodist has a different baptism. We just say they should be coming to the Catholic Church, putting their money in the collection plate. Is that it, Terry? Okay, all right.
Yolanda,
I
love your questions. And I would say, you know, like my wife just said, God can work outside the sacraments. He can even work outside of you and me. I'm joking, Yolanda. So I love your question. And I know one thing, just by listening to you, that you love Jesus. Is that a fair statement, Yolanda?
That is more than fair.
I knew it. I knew it was. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Yolanda. Terry, you're so quiet and reserved. You need to get fired up a little bit. I think we better take a quick break. More calls on angels. Want to get to as many as we can before the top of the hour. So we will take the quick break now. We'll be right back with more on angels with Terry and Mary Barber right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
I met my husband in my first year of college. We both came from strong Catholic families and wanted lots of children. After 3 years of marriage and still not pregnant, we felt our dream of a big family slipping away. My sister encouraged us to visit our local Catholic store and get a novena to St. Gerard. When we arrived, we were unsure about our need, but the staff was kind and helpful. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store! They encouraged us to pray and trust in God's providence. One worker told us stories of other couples, just like us, who were desperate to start a family. 4 years and two children later, we have been back to that incredible Catholic store for baby, baptism, and toddler gifts. God bless the staff at that incredible Catholic store. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What are angels? What powers do demons have? Do demons ever possess places or things? In 20 Answers, Angels and Demons, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you understand these mysterious and powerful beings, as well as helping you avoid the snares and harms of those angels who who disobeyed God and fell from his favor, the demons. 20 Answers, Angels and Demons is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. This is a fast-moving hour. I think I like talking about angels, and it seems our callers do as well. Lots and lots of calls about angels for Terry and Mary Barber. 888-318-7884 is the number. Is Isaiah still on the line, or did we lose him? All right, that's okay. We have a child wanted to talk to you, but we maybe he'll dial back. Isaiah, dial back. We'll put you on the air. So we'll go instead to Leslie in Victoria, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Leslie, your question for Terry and Mary Barber.
Hi. My question is, I have a four-year-old daughter who is fascinated with angels and the concept of guardian angel. She likes to imagine the color that the guardian angels, the color of the dress they wear for all the different family members. But at nighttime, she becomes very adamant that she's afraid of a bad dream. And she becomes very adamant that we pray to her guardian angel to scare away her bad dreams. I mean, to the point where if we don't say the prayer, she'll wake up in the middle of the night and ask me to pray it. And I was wondering if that was sound theology or if I was kind of propagating something that I shouldn't. I guess I was kind of curious if that was a good way to pray or not.
No, that is absolutely a good
way
to pray.
She's spot on.
The angels and the demons don't have access directly to our intellect, but they can definitely suggest things to our imagination. And so, you know, things that we've come in – much of our dreams at night are simply kind of our mind trying to order and put categorize everything that came toward us that day. But it's a good idea to pray to your angel at night and ask your angel to help you have peaceful dreams, to sleep peacefully. Sleep is very important to us. We have a body. The angels don't. They don't have to sleep. But we have a body, and if we don't get enough sleep at night, we can't do our duty the next day. So, no, absolutely – have your daughter pray to her angel at night and, you know, ask her to really entrust herself to the angel in the sense that try to let go of your fears. Never forget to pray your angel prayer, but try to let the fear go because we want to trust in Jesus just like the angels do.
And if I can also make a comment that I do, Leslie, I'm 60 years old and I tell my kids to do this when they were children. I have an image of Jesus in a big picture frame where he's with the little children. And before I go to bed, I ask permission to jump in the lap of Jesus before I go to sleep. If you practice that Ignatian spirituality of putting yourself in the lap of Jesus, then I think that will help your daughter go to sleep. But that's something that I've been doing for years, and I'm an old man, so it works for me.
How's that, Leslie?
I have to ask another quick question out of curiosity.
Yes, you can.
Are all the angels already created, or does God create them as he creates a new soul, like a new person?
No, all the angels were created in the beginning.
That's right.
God said, let there be light.
Okay.
And can I throw one more thing in? I know we're short on time, but the question comes, can the holy angels or the devils know our secret thoughts? No, they cannot, for only God himself can know what we're thinking at all times. Only God himself can know the depths of our soul. For this reason, St. Thomas Aquinas states, in no uncertain terms, that the angels do not know the secrets of our hearts. Nevertheless, as he goes on to explain, angels and devils can sometimes figure out what we might be thinking, and they can do this in two ways, for the thought is sometimes discovered not merely by our outward act, but also by the change of our countenance. This is right in the Summa Theologica. For example, our face can look happy or sad. If we're thinking uplifting or depressing thoughts, further, our thoughts about other persons can be reflected not only in the way we say about them, but also by the way in which we appear and react when coming into their presence. So we keep in mind that the angels and devils have not only superhuman intellects, but also thousands of years of experience of observing the behavior of human beings under all kinds of conditions and circumstances.
Leslie, thank you very, very much for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking angels with Terry and Mary Barber, and we go now to John in Falls Church, Virginia, listening on Guadalupe Radio. John, your question for Terry and Mary.
Hi. So I'm tweaking my question a little bit. I was going to ask if you could elaborate on the angels from the perspective of, say, Thomas Aquinas. However, since I've asked that question earlier, you guys have kept delving into it, which is exciting. I was curious if you could bring in the church father perspective, some particular church fathers, I guess.
Absolutely.
So what did the church fathers believe about the angels, John?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but how many angels, you know, if you had a second angel?
Well,
Terry and Mary are
trying to decide who's going to answer.
We've only been married 30 years,
I know.
Gosh. You know, what can I say? I love
your angel has befuddled you.
I talk too much all the time. Let my wife answer that
one. But if I may ask, though, it's kind of connected to John's question, and
yeah.
I mean, you can answer this. The church teaching on angels developed. So some of the early church fathers, they didn't know if angels are physical or spiritual. They weren't sure, and these things got worked out.
That's right.
Over the course
centuries.
Of time.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
Right, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church does quote Saint Augustine on the angels.
That's right.
And Saint Basil is the one who taught that every baptized person has a guarding angel. That's some of the things that came up. If you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, they're quoting from the fathers of the church in regards to the angels, some of these things that were worked out over the years. St. Jerome and St. Basil the Great believe the guardian angel is assigned at baptism. St. Anselm, on the other hand, goes a step further, saying that every soul is committed to an angel when it is united with the body. So, again, those things were never, you know, there were different opinions, and they definitely believed what our Lord had said about the children having angels. And so I haven't really dealt, I'm going to be honest here, I didn't go as far as looking into the fathers of the church on this other than what I saw in the catechism and what I have before me from the catechism. So there's a lot more in the fathers, I'm sure, about the whole discussion and how they worked out the different, you know, what does the church actually believe on the angels?
888, John, thank you very much
for
your question. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking angels with Terry and Mary Barbara. It's hard for me not to say Terry and Jesse when I talk to you. I always feel like you two go together. But I imagine Jesse's nervous now, hearing how good Mary does next to you, Terry. I imagine Jesse's nervous at this moment.
No, he's having fun.
Let's go to Wyatt in Tiffin, Ohio, listening on 103.3 FM. Wyatt, your question for Terry and Mary Barber.
So I understand that all angels were created in the beginning when God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. But as the human population grows, and it always will, until God takes us all back to heaven. But what happens if there becomes more people than there is angels?
Well, Wyatt, I think in the beginning, God, there is no time. So in the beginning, when God created, in his mind, he sees all of creation. That doesn't mean it all actually exists. So he knows, you know, the number of angels he created. He knows the number of human beings who will be created. And so there will be no deficit, because God is perfection, and he is able to work all that out. And that's, you know, the mystery of God. He is so far beyond our ability to comprehend.
Let me just mention this too, because you're a long ways away, but we have Father William Wagner, who really has formed us for the last 35 years from the Opus Angelorum, coming to California to do a series called the Spiritual Warfare Conference, the 13th of January. And those who want to register or even get the recordings, because this is so important. I actually have something on what every Catholic needs to know about angels by Father William. If people want that, they can call 877-526-2151, because as Scott Hahn said, he's the top of the food chain on angelology. And when Scott Hahn says that Father William's the best theologian on angels, you can take that to the bank. You can call 877-526-2151 or go online to CatholicRC.org and get closer to your angel. If you miss this, the unemployment rate, yes, for guardian angels is way too high. Let's put them to work.
888-318-7884 is our number. Wyatt, thank you so much for that call. Terry and Mary, I got on Facebook. Now we have a little bit of a debate going on. So you said that the angels, neither the angels nor the demons can know what's in the depths of our hearts. And yep. This is a question from Andy on Facebook. Does that mean then that we have to speak out loud for our guardian angel to hear us, and then the demons would be able to hear us? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay, so how might I speak to my angel?
You can do it by even thoughts, by your thinking. You don't have to verbalize with them. They understand your thoughts.
They communicate with us through God.
Yep.
God knows our thoughts, and God will communicate to our good angel.
Yep.
Anything that our good angel needs to know to help us along our path towards salvation. And he's not going to communicate those things to the demons. So God knows our thoughts, and the angels are in union with God.
Well,
so he communicates to the angel.
Okay, so thank you very much, Andy, and thanks for everybody who joins us on Facebook, YouTube, or Periscope. Let's see if we can get one more question in before we have to go. Carl in Carson City, Nevada, listening on Relevant Radio. Your question for Terry and Mary Barber.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Mary.
Hey,
hi.
Carl.
I just wanted to ask, what can we do to show appreciation to our angel for what they've done for us already?
Awesome question.
Awesome. One of the things you can do to show appreciation to your guardian angel, when you go to Mass and receive Holy Communion, ask our dear Lord to allow your angel to participate in this Holy Communion. Remember that your angel is always at your side, so be attentive to him. Pray well. Say your guardian angel prayer every day. And when you go to Mass, ask our Lord to let your angel participate in your Holy Communion. And always remember to be thanking your guardian angel every day for everything that he's done for you.
Well said. I won't add anything more to that. That's awesome. That's what we need to do. Hope that helped.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
That was Carl.
Oh, Carl.
Carl in Carson City. Thanks, Carl. 888-318-7884 is our number. Earlier we lost Isaiah's call, and I feel bad about it because Isaiah is a child that wanted to ask you about angels. And so Isaiah called from Greenville, Texas, and he was listening to Guadalupe Radio. And this was his question for you.
Yep.
Do angels have personalities?
Well, angels are not bodies. They don't have a body. They're a pure spirit. They have an intellect and a will.
Hang on a sec. Hang on a quick sec because Isaiah he's back.
Oh, God bless Isaiah.
Isaiah, I'm sorry. Did you want to ask your question to Terry and Mary? Isaiah? Okay.
No.
So
he's shy. That's okay.
It's shy. So his question was, do they have personalities? And Mary, I was fussing with the phones. The answer is?
They don't have personalities. Personalities are associated with having a body. And we have bodies.
Okay.
The angels are pure spirits. They have a pure intellect and a will. So they don't have a body. But the angels are very close to us. They love us dearly. They're a brother and a friend at our side. So don't let the personality thing get in the way of having a relationship with your angel.
That's a pretty advanced question from a youngster.
I would say so.
Thanks, Isaiah. Sorry we weren't able to get you on the air, Isaiah. I feel terrible about it. Terry and Mary Barber, thank you so much for talking angels with us today.
God bless you, folks.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Next year we'll get you on October 2nd. And and Mary, you're available to do this without Terry sometime?
I guess.
Okay. All right. Very good. Glad to hear it. Next hour, Dr. Pia De Seleni will be here. We're going to talk about women's role in the world. That is a Catholic woman's role in the world. We often talk about what's a woman's role in the church, but is there a special calling for a Catholic woman in the world, especially given all that we are hearing about the way women are treated in the workplace and the burdens women bear in the world? Pia De Seleni, theologian and chancellor of the Diocese of Orange, will be with us to discuss that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.